paying for what the president last night called middle-class economics. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Obama hits the road this morning to continue pushing for the priorities he outlined during last night's State of the Union address. Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa provided the response that promises the new Republican Congress will better champion the middle class. And when it comes for paying for what the president is proposing, the devil is in the details, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
We should get more details on President Obama's plans for tax reform, for paid sick leave and parental leave on February 2nd, when the White House says it'll give its spending blueprint to lawmakers.
In 2 weeks, I will send this Congress a budget filled with ideas that are practical, not partisan.
But Sarah Binder, a political science professor at George Washington University, says the GOP, the party in control of both houses of Congress, will focus mostly on the price of these populist proposals.
I don't know that really the president's initiatives are likely to find a home within the Republican budget.
The GOP has its own priorities, and finding common ground may be elusive.
Well, I think in some ways that's the nitty-gritty of politics.
Sure, there are philosophical differences, Binder says, but a bigger issue is Republicans want a balanced budget in 10 years. That doesn't leave much room for new spending. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
The rhetoric was last night, but some of the policy outlines of what the Obama administration hopes to accomplish trickled out in White House memos ahead of the speech, such as one that would put most American workers, even many part-timers, into retirement plans automatically, by default. Employers wouldn't have to kick in retirement money, but employees would, unless they choose to opt out. Management Professor Alicia Monell is director of the Center of Retirement Research at Boston College.
If you take a snapshot of the private sector workforce at any moment in time, half the people working have no employer-provided retirement.
And this would include, for instance, in some cases, part-timers. I mean, they'd have to be longer-term part-timers, but among those who don't have retirement accounts, it's often part-timers.
It is often part-timers. I think he has a proposal to include part-timers in regular 401k plans. The really big part of his proposal are these new auto-enrolled IRAs, where essentially the employer would be told if he has 10 employees and he doesn't provide a retirement plan, he would automatically have to enroll his employees in IRAs.
So if you're the employee taking the paycheck and you need every little bit of that paycheck every 2 weeks, you could opt out?
You could opt out, yes.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if the public policy goal is bringing more security to people in their retirement, I mean, wages haven't been going up much in America for the past 20 years or so, and that's the bigger problem.
We've had very slow wage growth, and saving for anything is very difficult. But if people don't save, they're going to be relying totally on Social Security. And Social Security in the future or today provides less relative to pre-retirement earnings than it has in the past.
Unlike some of the president's tax proposals, this idea here with the auto enrollment is not terribly controversial. I see support from the right and from the left. I mean, maybe this might actually get into law.
The thing is, it has been proposed several times in the past, and I don't really understand why it's not acceptable. It doesn't seem to impose much burden on employers. All they really are sort of mechanisms through which money is deducted from the paycheck and sent to the account. So you would think that it would go through, but it hasn't. Maybe, you know, it's just this sense that some people don't want employers to be told they have to do something.
Economist Alicia Monell once served on the Council of Economic Advisers during the Clinton administration, as well as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury then. She's now a professor of management sciences at Boston College and an expert on retirement. Professor, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's check the numbers now. The 100-share index in London is up 0.7%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. And some major new funding has just poured into SpaceX, the private company that wants to emphasize reusable rockets to do satellites and eventually colonize Mars. The company says it's now valued at about $10 billion after new money from Google, the investment company Fidelity, and others. Last year, a record 112 million people tuned into the Super Bowl, with the next one in about a week and a half. This year's halftime show is Lenny Kravitz with Katy Perry, which many will not see because they might click over to YouTube at the half, Marketplace's Nova Safo explains.
This will be the seventh year that YouTube has a dedicated channel for Super Bowl ads. This year, there's something new, a live streaming halftime show with some 20 YouTube celebrities. Celebrities like this guy.
Freddie Wong.
Getting back in action, Lucian.
Freddie Wong creates funny videos on YouTube. He's got 7.5 million followers. So is he ready to go after Katy Perry's Super Bowl ratings?
Not a competition. One person has talent. The other person just makes videos online.
But Wong and the other YouTube stars do have an ace up their sleeve. Jitender Sadev conducts research on celebrity branding.
YouTube stars are more influential amongst American teenagers than traditional celebrities.
Sadev says teens see them as more authentic, and they've been watching. Freddie Wong's channel, for example, has more than 1 billion views. Paul Werner is an analyst at eMarketer. He says all this popularity translates into ad revenues for YouTube.
They're projected to go up quite a bit.
Up, he says, to almost $2 billion next year. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
So you may have heard the NFL's investigating whether the New England Patriots used under-pressurized balls during the AFC Championship. ESPN last night reported, but the NFL has not confirmed separately that 11 of 12 balls were under. If deliberate, this would be cheating. One could take the low road in writing a story about mushy footballs. I will take the high road. To wit, what do Patriots coach Bill Belichick and European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi have in common? They're both worried about deflation.
Under pressure.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace pressure. Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.